Thursday, March 25th, 2021. Welcome to the Divided Kingdom, Evening News Alert. Mr. and Mrs. America, that's my wife, Elizabeth Coppett Cavalli, and yours truly, Lou Cavalli. Trying to fulfill the Ezekiel 33 watchman duty since October 2003, we're coming to you with ever-increasing serious warnings. Hear us at WWCR.com, Thursdays at 8 p.m., and also at that same time on this shortwave frequency, 4.840 megahertz. And it repeats Saturdays at 8 a.m. on a frequency of 7.490 megahertz. We can also be heard on the Liberty Works Radio Network, LWRN.net, and KSTARTalkRadio.com at 5 p.m. Saturdays and 10 a.m. Sundays.
Thank you, Lou, for that vital information. And also, listeners, please visit our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com, to read our blogs and to listen to our archives. You can hear the vital information we gave listeners on March 4th, 11th, and 18th. Yesterday, March 24th, Big League Politics, that website that brings a lot of crucial news to us, reported that the three past presidents, Clinton, Bush, and Obama, had given a public service message. And, of course, that was to urge all the Americans who haven't gotten vaccinated to get vaccinated with the COVID-19 vaccines. And also, again, we're hearing allegations that Dr. Franklin Graham made some kind of a comment that if Jesus were here, he would urge these COVID vaccinations to be given. We haven't locked that down as a firm surety, but we're very distressed to hear that. You know, at a time when Albert Mohler, the head of the Theological Seminary for the Southern Baptists, has called for taking these vaccines that have the aborted fetal cell lines in them, and even David Cloud, for years, Lou and I have been referring to his Friday church news notes that are supposed to be a help to churches in the latter days. And these helps that he has written are always pointing out the heresy involved in the churches. But even he came out pro-vaccines in the last year. I don't know how he feels now. I certainly hope that he has gotten some more information. You know, our once trusted shepherds are becoming part of the great delusion, the reprobate mind, and whether this is consciously or unconsciously. We also can't let out Pope Francis at the Vatican. We can't forget his approval of these vaccines that have the aborted fetal cell lines. However remotely begun, they were used. And, of course, we know that some Roman Catholic leaders in America are really coming out against this idea of accepting these vaccines. We need real watchmen. We need real truth tellers. But, Lou, they're becoming an extinct species. It's just so important, you see. We, in, you know, we here at the Divided Kingdom and all of you out in the world would have never dreamed, for example, that on March 18th, and you can go to our archives at DividedKingdomRadio.com, and we urge you to tell others, try to save as many lives as you can. On March 18th, we never dreamed we'd be reporting a new tracking partnership between IBM and Moderna. IBM, the corporation that infamously provided Hitler and the Nazis with the punch card tracking system that helped destroy the millions of Jews in the Holocaust. Now this new collaboration to help vaccine companies build a tracking, surveillance, vaccine passport, and even a food trust system?
Are we living in Matthew 24 now? Abominations are accepted as virtue. Absurd irrationality rules. And the demonic, murderous aims of Satan's cohort seem to be strengthening. After we present the story of one man's waking vision in the 1990s, perhaps a glimpse we are entering the biblical revelation time period, Elizabeth and I will expose the latest snapshots of the growing satanic culture of death, with all its degradation and insanity of thinking. We have a story here by Ed DeGroat, excerpted from the Corona Gathering newsletter number 18. In the mid-1990s, the Lord shut down my business and began revealing some things to me. I was a school teacher and was burned out, and I was looking for a different kind of business. The Lord led me to the business I'm in, and not only that, he blessed it beyond my wildest imagination. In fact, after a while, we were making more money in a month than I used to make in a year teaching school. What happened is, we were part of a major church, a big seeker church, and we became very established in it. My wife was in the choir, and I was a major contributor to all the programs. We started taking trips around the country. We were into all the various aspects of the business that was exploding. All the great trimmings of life. Five-star hotels. Taking the boys to all the amusement parks. Our church life was great. We were in Bible studies. Everything was going great. We were living the Christian American dream. This went on for a couple of years, and we figured that we were under the blessings of the Lord. We bought into a lot of the health and wealth gospel of the day, thinking we deserved it. And America deserved it. Everybody in this country deserved to be wealthy. We bought into the whole rapture thing, that if something does happen, we will go out rich and happy and all that. We did not have a clue as to what was really going on. We basically turned our backs and had our heads stuck in the sand as far as what's going on in this country. That's basically our background when the Lord shut the business down. I started doing some heavy praying and just asked the Lord why the business was stopped. I couldn't figure it out. It just didn't make any sense to me. All of a sudden, I started receiving in the mail and over the internet things like videos and tapes, articles and newsletters on this thing called the New World Order, and documents written years ago that I thought were unbelievable. I couldn't believe there could be this kind of undercurrent behind the things that were happening in the world. It almost seemed to me like it was controlled. Then the Lord spoke to me saying that it is controlled. It's controlled by demonic powers, and there is a conspiracy against Christians and against this country and against the world to bring in this one world government led by the Antichrist. All of a sudden, the whole picture started becoming clearer to me. The final thing that I got was a document written about 200 years ago that just laid everything out. All the plan out, and it was exactly what is going on today. The document was so absolutely wicked, so evil, I just couldn't believe people could be that evil. The Lord said, "You're not struggling with flesh and blood here. You're struggling with principalities and powers, and they are absolutely evil." I was fixing dinner in 1997 after the Lord had dealt with me, and I was given all these things. It was a really great dinner. I was fixing, and the Lord told me to go on a fast. Immediately, he took away my hunger, and I went on this fast, praying and crying out to him. The neat thing about this fast was that he would wake me up at 3 in the morning. The first morning, he woke me up and said, "Get up." I wasn't used to hearing his voice, so I didn't get up. He wouldn't let me go back to sleep. I heard it over and over again, "Get up, get up." I got up and started walking out, and he pushed my head on the ground. I was this businessman. This was all new to me. I didn't know what was going on. I'm a left-brain guy. I just deal in rational thinking. But he had my head on the carpet, started bringing up my sins. All the things that I thought were okay, he started to bring up. The Lord convicted me, and I started weeping on the floor, just crying out to the Lord. I thought I was a pretty good person and that we had a good Christian walk. He was bringing all this stuff up to me. That went on most of that day. I would find myself in a corner crying out to the Lord and weeping. The second day, same thing. 3 in the morning, get up. This time it only took me 15 minutes to get up. Once again, he had me weeping on the floor and crying out. This time I was weeping for the sins of America. He was bringing the sins of America before my eyes, and I was weeping over that for a couple of days. He led me into a Christian bookstore and showed me in a vision that everything was to be all torn up and ripped and the Bibles all messed up. I wasn't quite sure what was going on, but these were visions that I was having during this time. This was all totally new to me. I had heard about it happening to others, but to have it happen to me was incredible. About the fifth day of my fast, at 3 a.m, he said, "Get up," and this time I got right up and went into the living room. Once again, I was on the floor and crying out. My wife came in because I was crying loudly. She started interceding in prayer. I told her what was going on in this country, and once again the Lord brought up not only my sins, but also the sins of the country. I was in a corner of the room holding my Bible in my hands, and the Lord hit me with a vision of the book of Revelation. He took me through the book of Revelation in what seemed like a second. I can't explain that to anybody. I don't know what happened, but I know he took me through the entire book in what seemed like a second. I lived that book as if I were going through all the things in Revelation. He took that rapture notion right out of my head, and I realized we're going to go through this book of Revelation. This was coming. And he said there is an urgency, and this is coming upon this country. This book is coming upon our country. All these plagues written in this book are coming upon this world, and specifically upon this country. At that time, I just lost it. I had my Bible in my hand, and I said to my wife, "This is true. This is true." She said, "Yeah, yeah, I know. It's in the Bible. It's all true, of course." "No, no, you don't understand. It is absolutely true." Suddenly, it was in my spirit that this book, this Bible, anything written in it is true and correct, and it's going to happen upon this country and upon this world. God's word will not come back void. This was a major, major conviction of where I was at, and I think I freaked my wife out. She was like, "Wow, who is this guy?" But I was so full with the Holy Ghost. The next thing I did was call our pastor. I knew he needed to hear this word from the Lord and what's coming down. They needed to be warned. It was 4:30 a.m. I called my pastor, telling him I had a word for the church and it has to be given. He told me to come over. So I drove over to my pastor's house, and on the way said, "Lord, what is the word that I'm supposed to bring, because you said I should bring a word?" He said, "Daniel 9. You need to go to Daniel 9, and I'm going to tell you what to say and what to change while you read it to him." I got to his house and read Daniel 9 to him. Quote, "O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with all who love him and obey his commands, we have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and your laws. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who have spoken. That is, who have spoken your name to our president, our Congress, our courts, and all the people of the land. Lord, you are righteous, but this day we are covered with shame. The men of the United States and the women of the United States and all Israel, both near and far, have sinned against you, O Lord. O Lord, we and our president, our Congress, and all our courts are covered with shame because we have sinned against you. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the Lord our God or kept his laws that he gave to his servants and prophets. All Israel has transgressed your law and turned away, refusing to obey. Therefore, all the curses and sworn judgments written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, will be poured out upon us because we have sinned against you. You will fulfill the word spoken against us and against our rulers by bringing upon us a great disaster. Under the whole heaven, nothing will ever be done like what is going to be done to the United States. Just as is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster will come upon us. Yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our sins and giving attention to your truth. The Lord will not hesitate to bring this disaster upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in everything he does. Yet we have not obeyed him." Unquote. After I read that to the pastor, the Lord said, "Look at all Israel. What is all Israel?" And immediately he said, "It's the church. All Israel is the church. The church is going to be judged." Unquote. The church is going to be judged by the Lord God. The outcome of the message is that it was rejected by our church. The pastor said, "That's not from God. God wouldn't give you a message like that. It's not exegetically correct to change things in the Bible like that. What you're doing, and this is the pastor still speaking, what you're doing there is not correct exegesis, and we reject that word. And besides that, you're putting fear into the congregation, and you're going to have to stop right now, unquote. So we were called before the council of the church and told to stop. He basically told us, you are interfering with our building plans. We have plans. And if you keep on speaking this way, you're going to interfere with the building plans of the church, unquote. So that word was rejected by that body, and eventually we gave it again, but eventually they were just very glad to see us leave. That was in 1997. I do have a recent word for the church as well. Once again, the Lord told me to go on a fast. He immediately took away my hunger, just like he did back then. He said, quote, there is deception upon the body of Christ. It is so strong and so powerful that, like the word says, even the elect can be deceived. He also said, one of the principalities over this deception is the Jezebel spirit. It is in control of the pulpits and over control of the churches of this country, unquote. Once again, he woke me up at 4 in the morning and said, get up. I want to show you what's going on. He took me to the Book of Kings, and I started reading about Jezebel and Ahab. I said, I know we've had words that there is a Jezebel spirit over our church. The Lord said, it's much deeper than you think. You are thinking in terms of a little bit of control, but it goes much deeper. The Jezebel spirit over American churches is this. The Jezebel spirit protects the prophets of Baal and kills the prophets of the Lord. It is going on in this country right now. That's by Ed DeGroot.
And, Lou, I believe that Brannon House was the person who was interviewing General McInerney and General Michael Flynn when they were urging President Trump to invoke the Insurrection Act. Isn't that correct?
I believe that's right. I think that's
well,
right.
Well, I think this was fortuitous. Today, you and I weren't sure that we had enough material here to present to the listeners. And you see now we've been talking about the false churchmen who are being deluded by the reprobate mind, and we're thinking about the people who are mistakenly believing they will be raptured out. And we hear from Ed DeGroot the vision that he went through Revelation within a second. And you and I know how God twisted time. When we were going to Williamsburg years ago, when it seemed like a two-hour voyage down old route, what was it?
Route 301.
Should have taken 2 hours when we were there in 15 minutes. We know that God did something amazing there. Well, one of the sheets that I got this morning, I was going through a lot of older work that we had and discarding some. I see that this is actually from the year 2010, Hope for the World Update. And that's the publication put out by Gary Kaw, very respected publication. But this article is written by Brannon House, the same one who was there encouraging the generals to encourage President Trump to heroically save our republic and hence our Western Christian civilization. This is called Nazism and the False Church in Germany, Cultural Marxism and the False Church in America. This is more pertinent now, certainly more pertinent now than it was in 2010. Starting in 1878, Julius Wellhausen, a German theological professor and author of numerous books, began to proclaim that the Bible was a book of stories, but not the divinely inspired Word of God. He taught countless Germans that the Bible could not be trusted, but human reason could be. This philosophy became known as higher criticism or German rationalization. This liberal philosophy jumped the ocean and became popular on the East Coast and then spread through America. So how did this false teaching impact the German culture, including the German churches, and lay the foundation for the acceptance of Adolf Hitler? Dr. David Bries writes, the initial effect of German rationalization upon a Christian culture was on the schools, churches, and scholarship of Europe. Even so, religion still continued in Europe. There were still large churches, burning candles, beautiful choirs, lovely stained glass windows, congregations, all of that was still there. The Bible was only empty pages written by men who were now dead, rather than revelation of the living God. European Christianity was destroyed from within while still possessing the external form by which it had been known for centuries. The leaders quoted everything but the Bible and preached everything but the gospel, and reality was gone. It was because of religious liberalism that Europe lost its soul. European Christianity was compromised and changed into a false religion from within as German rationalization or higher criticism led the people to follow a humanistic religion. Germany was Hitler's for the taking because absolute truth and the gospel of Jesus Christ had long since been betrayed, and thus the German people believed that the end justified the means. As long as the people were to regain their national pride and their financial abundance, they would go along with Hitler's message of hope and change. And Lou, I have to interject here. This is a lot like the MAGA hat people, isn't it? Who
Yes.
put their whole trust in Trump because he would bring back the economy and the national pride. Back to the article by Brannon House. The masses went along, but as has happened through history and is happening now, and as is happening today in America, God has a remnant that remains true to him and his word. The remnant is a small group of Christians that stands faithful and firm in their biblical convictions, even in the face of persecution and ridicule. The remnant is often met with hostility, not only by the world, but by the members of the postmodern dominant false church, which includes not only those calling themselves Christians, but can include those calling themselves deacon, elder, pastor, or evangelical. This remnant of believers can also find themselves being ridiculed by their own family members. Matthew 10:36 declares, "And a man's enemies will be those of his own household." A dominant false church is rising, largely due to pansies in the pulpit, but the remnant is to contend for the faith and oppose the false teachers that have crept in unnoticed by most. These false teachers have turned the grace of our God into lewdness, and they deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ, Jude 3-4. The remnant, as revealed in Revelation 14:12, are those who remain faithful to the cause of Jesus Christ, even during great apostasy. Quote, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." Romans 11:5 declares, "Even so then, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Because of God's grace, not because of our good works, God has seen fit to save us unto himself." History screams that ideas have consequences, that worldview matters. The vast majority of the German people, including some German Christians, willingly traveled the road to Hitler's hell, largely because they had lost the courage of their convictions. They had sold out to paganism, pragmatism, and a new gospel that promised everything and required nothing. David Breese sums it up this way: "It is obvious that Europe, despite its vaunted intellectualism, was unable to defend itself against the arguments and subversions of Nazism, communism, fascism, the world of the occult, and other diseased ideas. External results in the life of any nation are ultimately caused by the presence or absence of a spiritual core made of divine life and spiritual blessings." Does this not sound like the churches, seminaries, Christian colleges, and best-selling Christian authors in America? Many American Christians seem all too willing to go down a path that will surely lead to the destruction of a once great nation. Sadly, many self-professing Christians are not just following, but leading the way over the cliff. And now we come to the results of some of the chaos and some of the beginning terrible depravity, because this program is Are We Living in Matthew 24? And it'll be continued later. So now, Satan despises our littlest ones the most. Witness Planned Parenthood and their slaughterhouses. This came out December 29th at Natural News. The headline, "Moderna starts testing coronavirus vaccine on kids aged 12 to 17, despite dangers of negative side effects." The coronavirus, COVID-19 pandemic, continues to ravage countries across the world, with desperate people counting on a vaccine that can help protect them from this infectious disease. And yet, despite warnings from health experts about potential negative side effects, Moderna Incorporated has already begun testing its experimental coronavirus vaccine on kids aged 12 to 17. According to a press release from the biotechnology company, and this is back in December, you remember, the phase 2-3 trial will involve an estimated 3,000 volunteers aged 12 to 17. The researchers will give half of the volunteers two shots of Moderna's immunization, or mRNA, 1273, 4 weeks apart. Meanwhile, the rest of the participants will receive saltwater placebos. The scientists claim that they will monitor the safety and efficacy of the vaccine in children. All volunteers will be followed for 12 months after the second inoculation. Other companies have already been testing vaccines on children. Pfizer Incorporated, another vaccine manufacturer, has already been testing its coronavirus vaccine in children aged 12 since October. Another company, AstraZeneca, has also started testing young participants outside America. But the testing seems unwarranted, especially since children rarely develop severe coronavirus symptoms. Additionally, young patients seldom require hospitalization for COVID-19, highlighting the danger of testing vaccines on children who haven't been previously tested in trials for experimental shots. And as we follow this through, we can ask ourselves how logical this idea of experimenting on these kids was. And then I mentioned before that 11 is said sometimes to be, in numerology, the number of judgment. And sometimes things happen on that day. And February 11th, we had an unsettling article come out. The headline there at Natural News was, Fauci demands America use children as human guinea pigs for COVID vaccine experiments. And that's up to date now, February 11th, 2021. Natural News. Dr. Anthony Fauci is staying true to his mission and is ready to use children as human guinea pigs for coronavirus vaccine experiments while ignoring the harm the vaccines are doing to a subset of the elderly population already. Hopefully, by the time we get to the late spring, early summer, and we will have children being able to be vaccinated according to the FDA's guidance, said Dr. Anthony Fauci, the nation's highest paid voice of coercion and control. The only problem with Fauci's demand, the FDA has no data to justify child exploitation. The drug companies cannot enroll enough adolescents in their experimental trials. All available data shows that the infection is not deadly for children either. Now we can see that Moderna's December 2020 plan didn't work out as well as they thought, because this article says, the vaccine companies have struggled to get parental consent in order to use children for the new mRNA vaccine experiments. Moderna publicly admitted that they can't convince enough parents of children 12 and under to enroll in experimental trials. We, as an industry, cannot just put out a vaccine without testing it, said Dr. Maria Ryan at the Cottage Hospital in New Hampshire, and we have to have volunteers to test. This requires parental consent, something Dr. Fauci would like to bypass. A year ago at Easter, one of our great listeners told us of waking up at 4 a.m. And again, this was on a judgment day, April 11th, 2020. And this cartoon envisioned came to the listener's mind. And you have to picture this, listeners. On the left is pictured Dr. Anthony Fauci holding a loudspeaker-type bullhorn kind of an instrument. And in the vision, the loudspeaker, quote, came to life and spoke, saying, kennel up! That's a dog command. No family, no friends, no gathering, and no USA at all. I think that was a very interesting little vision, don't you, Lou?
Very much so, yes.
Yes. And we have to note now, more recently, Fauci again rasped through the loudspeaker, Natural News, March 1st, 2021, go ahead and hug family, but only if you're vaccinated. And we move on again. In the wake of all the deaths and injuries from AstraZeneca's COVID vaccine, many countries, many of them in Europe, are halting that vaccine. One would hope that this February 22nd article would now not materialize in any way. These are eugenics connections that we have. We have other information on that for the future programs. But with AstraZeneca and probably all of the COVID, quote, emergency authorized vaccines. Natural News, February 22nd. In early January, the World Health Organization, WHO, concurred that pregnant women should not receive experimental mRNA vaccines due to insufficient safety data. By the end of the month, WHO reversed its recommendation and joined the U.S. CDC in promoting experimental mRNA vaccines for pregnant women. Great Britain is already getting the green light to serve up pregnant women and newborn infants to the altar of vaccine science. Johnson & Johnson have already enlisted their subsidiary, Janssen, to convince pregnant women that they should sign up their body for the new mRNA vaccine studies to promote the, quote, greater good of future generations. According to Janssen's Haneke Schutemaker, the goal is to ultimately get the shots in babies. Oxford AstraZeneca is moving forward with their experiments and will begin jabbing children as young as 6 years old in the coming months. Deadly experiment to be pushed onto pregnant women. This was written by Lance D. Johnson at naturalnews.com. This experiment could acutely injure up to 20% of pregnant women and have compounding negative effects on the woman's child who is connected to the mother's blood supply via her placenta. And adding to that, as the vaccine injuries are extrapolated across the population, hospitals are forced to deal with waves of vaccine injuries and vaccine-induced mortalities. Introducing these same problems into the bodies of pregnant women will ultimately cause needless miscarriages. And we interject there, Lou, you had an article, I think, on that very thing recently in our last program. There was a woman, wasn't she a doctor or a nurse?
I believe she was.
I think so. And spontaneous abortions while adding complications to the already fragile process of pregnancy. In the UK, there are already reports of pregnant women subverting guidelines and getting the vaccine. There have been 6 known cases of spontaneous abortion caused by these shots. Dangerous vaccine experiment, not safe for humans, let alone humans in critical developmental stages. We have to be looking at the idea that the elite have wanted to cull the population for generations, and it is so important that we bring you the truth, because time after time God showed us Ezekiel 33 in the Bible, and he showed me personally that scripture that said, cry out till the last city is wasted. So we thank some of you listeners to the Divided Kingdom for helping us. We're getting closer to being able to pay our bill at WWCR for the 5 Thursdays in the month in April. And if any of you would like to help us, there are no commercials here. And our only helper is you and God. We have no other kind of corporate help, no other kind of sponsorship. So if you would like to help us, we can't take personal checks, but you could write a check to WWCR. You could send a money order, or you could send some cash in an envelope, and you can send it to Lou, capital L-O-U, Caverly, capital C-A-V-E-R-L-Y, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And again, that's P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, and the zip is 21609. And the general view of the elite in government and in big corporations is that flyover deplorables like you and me are expendable. We are like the kind of, we're kind of like unwanted waste to Mother Earth. That's why in the 1990s they tried to set up the idea that there would only be small habitation islands for humans. The rest would be put in the wildlands. And, of course, that got stopped by Kay Bailey Hutchison and Dr. Michael Kaufman, the late author of Saviors of the Earth. But we always have this in the background, the population culling, that, you know, we're just unwanted waste. But we come to you nearly at Easter time, and we know that Jesus Christ loved the world. He wanted to save us. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That verse cannot be tampered with. That verse means so much to all of us who repent and turn from our sins. But this idea that we're just waste, I think this is symbolized what the evil globalists want to do. They want to turn our bodies into waste and through their hidden population culling plan. And here we have the headline, WorldNet Daily, January 29th, 2021. These new McDonald's trays are made from food waste. If you eat at a McDonald's restaurant in São Paulo, Brazil, your food will come on what looks like a typical plastic tray, but the material is actually made largely from food waste and other trash. Arcos Dorados, the largest independent McDonald's franchise in the world, which operates stores throughout Latin America and the Caribbean, is rolling out thousands of trays made from the material as it works to shrink its use of virgin plastic. The material, called UBQ, is unique in that it's recycled from a mix of materials. UBQ's process begins with unsorted household waste destined for landfills, banana peels, chicken bones, and other food leftovers, cardboard and paper, diapers, and mixed plastics, everything besides glass and metal, which we remove and send out to recycle, says Albert Dwyer, executive chairman of UBQ Materials, the Israel-based company that produces the material.
And now, is this globalist agenda to weaken and sicken not only the middle class with fluoride and aspartame, etc., but to harm our key military personnel, to break down one local military defense? Toxic food making National Guard servicemen sick.
That was my writing there, Lou. That word isn't one. It's our local defense.
Yep.
Because we're going to be talking about the National Guard, and that can be in any state.
And this was from Friday, March 5th, by Ethan Huff, Natural News. An insider with the Michigan National Guard is reporting that the meals being served to servicemen are subpar and dangerous. On Sunday, 75 meals were thrown out after metal shavings were found in them. Other meals arrived undercooked, putting servicemen at potential risk of food poisoning. The unnamed whistleblower told 7 Action News in Detroit that these issues are not isolated. Food quality is poor all across the board, which is a sad testament to the treatment of our soldiers. The sergeant said, quote, yesterday, for instance, there were 74 different meals found with raw beef in them. Just yesterday, soldiers had found metal shavings in their food, unquote. For breakfast, the sergeant added, soldiers are not receiving properly balanced meals that contain needed protein. Instead, they are being given junk food that amounts far too low to provide them with the energy and strength they need to do their jobs. This person told the media, quote, you were getting maybe a Danish and some sort of juice. And then we had certain days where it was clearly a dinner roll and Sunny D, unquote. More than a dozen soldiers were sickened by undercooked meals, several of whom had to be rushed to the hospital for treatment. All the way up the chain of command, there were problems, especially after changes were made to the food boxes being delivered. They said, all right, we're going to make sure we spot check them, and we're also going to start having them add temperatures to it, the whistleblower added. He went on to say, at 140 degrees, you cook that chicken, undercook it to 140, and now you're telling us that it's a 30-minute drive. This is what they say on the little placard. That's good for 4 hours. Those were the words uttered in an audio recording of a discourse about one of the issues. No, it's not, the same person went on to say. It wasn't good from the start, and now it's had hours to become even more dangerous.
Gretchen Whitmer says National Guard food is unacceptable. Upon receiving word of the issues, Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer pronounced that the National Guard's rations are unacceptable. Representative Brenda Lawrence's office did the same, with Lawrence promising to personally eat with the National Guard to see for herself the quality of the food. Tweeted Senator Gary Peters, quote, "The men and women of the Michigan National Guard are in D.C. protecting the Capitol, the very symbol of our democracy. This is completely outrageous and unacceptable. It must be fixed immediately, and I'll be looking into this as a member of the Senate Armed Services Committee," unquote. On Monday, the whistleblower provided an update that the Michigan National Guard was instructed not to eat any more provided meals for the following 2 days because they are unsafe. Instead, the Guard was given MREs, meals ready to eat, which are typically administered on the battlefield. Servicemen who want to eat real food are having to pay for it out of pocket, the whistleblower says. Reads a statement from the National Guard, I believe that's a magazine. Quote, "The Michigan National Guard finds the reports of undercooked and poorly prepared food provided to our service members in Washington, D.C. very concerning. The firsthand accounts and pictures of undercooked food being served clearly shows that what is being given to Michigan service members is unacceptable," unquote. The statement went on to explain that Whitmer and others are, quote, "engaged at the highest levels of the federal government," unquote, to try to get to the bottom of the situation. Every assurance was given that the issue would be addressed and corrected. The statement further reads.
And then, Lou, as we see this breakdown in the once great America, the vaccine is the pandemic. This is a headline at Natural News, March 2nd. 80% of nuns vaccinated at Kentucky convent tested positive for coronavirus 2 days later. 35 nuns from the Benedictine Sisters of St. Walburg in Kentucky were vaccinated earlier this month for the Wuhan coronavirus, COVID-19, and just 2 days later, two of them died and 26 others tested positive. And they go on to say that later there were three who died, not just the two. Let's move right on to your article, Lou.
This one says, "Doctor who mocked coronavirus vaccine refuses dies days after getting jabbed." This is by Ethan Huff.
And again, we point out that what Ed DeGroot saw, this spirit that he might have called the Jezebel spirit, this arrogance, this hubris, we'll build bigger and better. Remember the 9/11, the beginning of judgment, and how those top political leaders like Tom Daschle and John Edwards said publicly, they spoke this prophecy out of Isaiah 9:11. That though the bricks were fallen, they would build better, and the trees were down. And we know that the tree that was planted to replace a sycamore, just like an echo of that Isaiah 9:11, it didn't grow. It was called America's Promise. It died. So we can see we're going in to something very, very hellacious. Go ahead, Lou.
Just days after getting injected with a Wuhan coronavirus, COVID-19 vaccine, Dr. Witold Rogowitz, a Polish physician who openly mocked vaccine skeptics, died from the jab. The official story is that Dr. Rogowitz died of heart failure, but it is painfully obvious that he suffered the most serious adverse event of all associated with the vaccine, death. While he was getting injected, a masked Dr. Rogowitz arrogantly told the camera, "Vaccinate yourself to protect yourself, your loved ones, friends, and also patients." He went on to make fun of anti-vaxxers and anti-COVIDers who take issue with the fact that Chinese virus vaccines have never been long-term safety tested, nor are they the manufacturers liable in the event of injury or death. And he stated in Polish, this is the doctor stated in Polish, quote, "And to mention quickly, I have info for anti-vaxxers and anti-COVIDers. If you want to contact Bill Gates, you can do this through me. I can also provide you from my organism, the 5G network. I am sorry I hadn't spoke for a bit, but I was just getting autism," unquote. Dr. Rogowitz thought he was being funny with these cringeworthy comments, but little did he know that the joke would be ultimately on him. Within just a few short days, Bill Gates' experimental gene therapy injection ended Dr. Rogowitz's life. And we have a quote here from a post from the VIP clinic where Dr. Rogovitz worked. And the quote says, "At night, our friend and collaborator, Dr. Witold Rogovitz, suddenly passed away. We are devastated by this news. We send our deepest sympathy to the family he loved very much. We cannot believe, Vitek, we will miss you very much." And now we have a bombshell that says, bombshell report. And this was by Mike Adams from one of his situation reports, actually on March the 11th. And
again,
recall,
11,
yes,
the number of judgment.
Exactly. I was just going to say that's that same number popping up again. The bombshell report says, the same tech industry that powered the Holocaust, computational machines, now backing vaccine compliance, tracking, and food allowance. This, again, was by Mike Adams from Natural News. In the late 1930s and early 40s, IBM, International Business Machines, began partnering with the Third Reich to provide computational machines for tracking Jews for extermination.
And we realize that we have presented this article once before, March 18th. But this is of such great import because it's all coming together. And are we living in Matthew 24? Are we living at the beginning of the Great Tribulation? Because the churches, again, are becoming false. They're becoming a tool of Satan. They will not tell the truth. They will not protect the true Bible believers. And so we know that in Revelation, we have the mark of the beast. So we're seeing things come together here. Listen carefully again to the rest of this article.
And let me repeat that first sentence. In the late 30s and early 40s, IBM began partnering with the Third Reich to provide computational machines for tracking Jews for extermination. This is fully detailed in the book IBM and the Holocaust by Edwin Black, available at Amazon and elsewhere. Now, as published by Mint Press News, IBM is partnering with mRNA vaccine developer Moderna to provide its computational platforms and machines to enforce vaccine compliance. In my view, this is all part of a global vaccine Holocaust program that's engineered to achieve a mass extermination of the human race, and tech giants like IBM are happy to participate. Mass murdering 6 million Jews isn't enough for IBM, it seems. Now they're targeting 6 billion human beings with deadly vaccines that install a kind of operating system into the human body, hijacking the body's cells to produce alien proteins via mRNA software code that isn't even human. Private businesses turn into militant vaccine enforcers, powered by IBM tech. The same IBM that sold its technology to Adolf Hitler, in other words, is now running a COVID-19 digital health pass pilot program in New York, which, according to MPN, quote, deputizes private businesses to enforce government-imposed COVID-19 regulations, unquote. In other words, IBM provides the computational power and tracking that will turn local businesses into medical fascist compliance officers, reminiscent of the Nazi SS, but now applied to the fields of medicine and vaccines. IBM also uses the same blockchain and cloud computing technology to power its food trust, that's in quotes, food trust services, which will, of course, be used to restrict food supplies from people who refuse to comply with vaccination demands by the government. By controlling vaccine compliance in the food supply, IBM is concentrating power in the hands of evil, anti-human tyrants.
And then we have to think about this idea that you've brought up, Lou, that this tracking might include a food trust. So put all this together with the elite's desire to cull the population. And we have another article. I'm jumping ship a little bit here, Lou. This headline said, over 250 million people faced food insecurity in 2020 amid pandemic. This was March 15th, Natural News. The coronavirus pandemic that rocked the globe last March has since dramatically altered the global economy, society, and even humans' very perception of time. Worse, it has driven up to 265 million people to the brink of starvation. Writing for the nonprofit organization Truthout, Johannesburg-based journalist Raman Scher drew from recent reports to shed light on food insecurity amid the coronavirus pandemic. In the United States alone, food insecurity has doubled overall amid the coronavirus pandemic, according to a June 2020 report by the Institute for Policy Research, IPR, at Northwestern University in Illinois. And now, Lou, we just have to talk a little bit to the listeners that, first of all, we are now scouting out the aspects that seem like Matthew 24, and there will be a part two to this program, and we will have to get into the depravity, the degradation, again, this delusion that our pastors, who once we thought were trusted shepherds, are now saying it's okay. Jesus would want us to get these aborted cell, fetal cell line manufactured vaccines, and it would be okay morally. But we can see now that another key role we have with all of you is to protect you, protect you. My late father was showing me in his barn one time. He took this little calf, and he said the mother rejected it and wouldn't feed it. So he had to try to sneak it in under another mother's udder, and he was successful because he was trying always to help the underdog, the under cow, I guess we'd say, the little calf. That was who he was. And we really want to see all of you survive. And we have said before, we think you should be stocking up on lots and lots of canned meats, canned vegetables, whatever you can afford to do. And now we were listening to Mike Adams, his situation update, and I believe that was probably yesterday, which would be the 24th of March, and he was talking again how he's been trying and trying to get certain bag containers because he has a big food operation at naturalnews.com, the health ranger he is, and these things, they were not able to be delivered, Lou. Were they in California, I believe, weren't they?
I think that's the location that they were starting out from.
And the reason was, what, no trains were running, is that right?
Well,
first, and
they'd have
to, they would have to then pay exorbitant wages to some kind of a private trucking concern.
Yes.
Now, we're seeing that there is a breakdown in the supply chain. There are things coming, and this has been intermittently the case during this COVID-19. And now we're hearing in Germany that there is a variant of COVID. And Angela Merkel is getting everybody all upset, saying that it is more devastating. It is more powerful than the other one. Now, we don't know. Is this just hype? Is this, again, the alibi to lock down, let the new world order try to break the economy worldwide? Or is some of this coming out of Revelation? When all the plagues were there, I don't know Revelation well enough, but didn't it say there would be a very small remainder of people left alive, Lou?
Yes, that's exactly right.
From plagues and
yeah.
Other things.
Yes, that's right. Wars, plagues, famines, all of those.
And this is certainly a plague on us. So we just try to do the best we can. You know, we said that we could have been maybe rich people. Not elite, not that rich, but when my mother died, I think we got over $80,000, and she had an insurance policy that actually paid off our mortgage, $200,000. Everything was paid off, and had we started then and invested in things like Fidelity, we were in Fidelity with her money. We would have been in the worldly group. We would have been going on like the man in the Bible building his barns. We could have done well. We could have taken the cruises that our friends took. As it is, the last vacation we ever had was in December of 2000 when we went to Williamsburg, Virginia, a place that we dearly loved. There is some good in the Rockefeller family to have built Williamsburg, and we wish and we pray that some of their younger members will repent and know what Jesus Christ is like and think of the good they could do then without this other subterranean focus. But at any rate, we never again took an overnight trip, did we?
No, we didn't. That
and
was the
and
last
you
one.
Think about that. That's 21 years.
Yes.
But we are the happiest we have ever been now doing what's important for the Lord. And we're not perfect people. We're not priests. We're not pastors. We're just people. God called. He called me in your apartment, your bachelor apartment, many years ago, probably around 1981, 82, I don't know, probably 1980, 80 to 81, and I stood in front of your wonderful historical books, one with Sandburg's Lincoln, and the books just glowed out at me in sort of a pale golden light, and I didn't hear voices. I'm not a crazy person, but it was words that God put into my consciousness, and I knew it was somewhere farther away from me. This is your destiny. And, of course, Lou's, was it your ninth grade math teacher?
Eighth grade
math teacher took you aside and said you ought to work on your speech impediment because someday you might want to do radio work. And there I was in high school in western Pennsylvania with John J. Koza as my English teacher, and he was a radio announcer in Altoona, Pennsylvania. And, of course, he led me to essay writing and speech making, and I went on the local radio and won the Voice of Democracy contest. Sad to say, I didn't even know then, I was brainwashed, that we had a republic. We don't have it now. But I get upset when I hear people on Fox call it our democracy. It just isn't. Who was the big one? You know, I had trouble remembering his name the other night, you know, because I was so upset with him when I turned it off when the election fraud was covered up.
Oh, Tucker.
Yes, right, Tucker Carlson and Laura Ingraham. I've turned them off. And I think for me, this is like a lot better with all those commercials bombarding me. We're getting our news at other places, and we've largely turned TV off, but there are a few beautiful things left in the world this Easter. One of them is the figure skating, and it's going on, the world figure skating, and we watched it yesterday. We saw some lovely figure skating. The things of beauty are going to be eternal. God's heaven will be wonderful. Don't you want to repent? Don't you want to start a new life in which you tell Jesus you want him as your Savior and you're sorry for your sins and you ask him to forgive you and save you into eternity? And then if you pray to him every day, he will guide you. He will bring the people he wants you to talk to. He will show you the purposes that he has if you obey him. We will never be free of sin in this world, but once we are saved, it's different. And it's the happiest days of our lives, isn't it, Lou?
Absolutely, yes.
And we're under attack. We're under attack physically every week, other ways, financially. But we thank Jesus for being our personal friend. That's what he is, our Savior. And we hope that you will all come to a blessed Easter. Resurrection Day really is what it should be called. Good night.